Well, good morning, Mosaic House family. As Pastor Une introduced me, my name is Pastor Derek. I am the Pastor Une of the East Campus. So whatever she does, that's what I do. And I also do some preaching on the side. So every time I come here, I recognize less and less people. But that is so encouraging to me that more people are experiencing the grace of Jesus Christ through Mosaic House Church. And together, Mosaic House East, Mosaic House South, we are a multicultural community of house churches leading people to Jesus and serving our city. So, as Pastor Une mentioned, we are doing the Summer of Psalms. So, what the Psalms are is they're the prayer book given by God to the people of God, the Israelites. They're the raw thoughts, feelings, and emotions directed to our Creator God. And this summer, we're spending our Sundays digging into the Psalms to mine the riches of that authentic relationship between man and God. And it's also a celebration of church planting. So I'll begin by reading the Psalm. And honestly, I chose this Psalm originally because of a U2 song. If you got time, look it up. It's called 40. It's a beautiful song. But I'm going to read the scripture. So open your Bibles to Psalm 40, or else you can follow along on the screen here. Hear the word of the Lord. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, there would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here am I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Lord, do not withhold your mercy from me. May your love and faithfulness always protect me, for troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back into disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. Well, this morning I would like you to close your eyes and imagine with me here today. Picture yourself as a 19 or a 20-year-old person. You watch news stories about all the inequality in the world, and you want to do something about it. You explore options online and find a development agency. You raise some money and are so excited to go. You fly there and meet some like-minded people. But one night you decide to stay out a bit late with some friends that you met there. And you drive back to your hostel. But when you get there, and as you're walking toward the door, some big guys approach you at gunpoint. And they tie you up and they throw you in a vehicle. It speeds away. What are you feeling right now? Terror? Claustrophobic? The sights, the sounds, the thoughts going racing through your mind? This is not a horror movie. This was real life. Last month, June 4th, for two Canadian girls, 19-year-old Lauren Tilley and 20-year-old Bailey Chitty. They were just experiencing their life when suddenly they were thrust into darkness, peril. You could say they were in a pit. You can open your eyes now. At one point in our lives, we have found ourselves in a deep pit, and it may not have involved our lives being in danger, but it sure feels that way, doesn't it? I'm talking about feeling stuck in a job or a relationship, an assignment deadline. I mean, fill in the blank with the life situation that feels so dark that there's no escape. And if you haven't been in a pit that deep, then just wait for it, and I assure you, it will happen in your life. See, all too often, when bad things come our way, that's all we can see, the darkness, the pain we feel. We continue running through our minds, the stupid thing that we said, or the monetary amount that we owe. As our problems grow in life, we shrink, and we feel inadequate and powerless. We get stuck in the pit. Here's what I want you to know today. To get out of the pit, proclaim what God has done in your life, remember your purpose, and don't forget to pray. David found himself in a pit. David was the shepherd boy who killed the giant to become God's chosen king. And his words are given to us in Psalm 40. So this is my focus today. This is what we're digging into. We only see glimpses of David's predicament, but he describes his troubles as feeling like in a pit. This conjures up images of isolation, confinement. Not only is he in a pit, but it's a slimy pit, a muddy pit, dirty, filthy, gross, shameful. In verse 12, he says, "Troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me." He's overwhelmed, and his heart fails within him. So we're not told which pit David is in. Maybe it was when David was confronted by Nathan, the prophet, over his adultery with Bathsheba and his killing of Uriah. Or maybe it was when his son Absalom led a rebellion against him, his own son. Or maybe it was when the Lord punished Israel when David counted fighting men. We just don't know when he wrote the psalm. But there is something unique about the psalm. The tone of the psalm is not in despair. In fact, it reads like a praise song. So we have to ask, why is that? That when troubles overwhelm David, he does not dwell in his despair. So I want to suggest today that it's a matter of perspective. And I have some pictures here to kind of illustrate that. So what do you see? Do you see a young woman looking away? Or do you see an old woman with a big nose? And then the other one, do you see a duck looking this way or a rabbit looking this way? So you see that there's an entirely different way of looking at a picture can change it entirely. And so it is with us in our lives. That instead of dwelling on his current troubles, David goes through three steps. He proclaims God's work in his life. He remembers his purpose, and he prays to God. All things that are focused on God, not on his current troubles. The first part, verses 1 to 5, David begins by waiting. And you don't really see it in the English text, but in the actual Hebrew text, it says, waiting, he waited. And so when words are repeated in Hebrew, we need to take note of that, because the Hebrew authors would use emphasis when they repeated stuff that was for emphasis. So we bold and we capitalize our words, but they repeated them. So that means that David didn't just wait. He really waited. And sometimes this in itself can feel like a pit. Waiting. Nobody likes waiting. But it's part of the natural rhythm of life. So the next few verses, David begins to proclaim what God has done for him. He outlines the rescue. But hold on, David, hold on. You haven't gotten out of the pit yet. Why are you celebrating? David realized something we often forget when we are in the pit. And that's the other times in our lives when David has brought us out of the pit. Not only does David proclaim to celebrate what God has done in the past, but he also anticipates God to move in the future to bring him out of the current pit. That seems a little presumptuous to me, to celebrate before getting out of the pit. But maybe David has something there. Maybe all we can do in the present, in our pit, is to anticipate God moving to get us out of the pit. Maybe that is enough. Waiting on God involves both expectancy and endurance. We endure in the pit and we expect God to work to get us out of the pit. David proclaims what God has done and will do in his life. So David ends this first part with a lesson for his first hearers and for us today. Verse 4, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. He's directing his hearers and to us, to God. And he says that he will proclaim God's deeds to everyone, so that it won't be a secret how he got out of that pit, that it was God all along that moved to get him out of that pit. To get out of the pit, David proclaims what God has done. And the second part, verses 6 to 10, involves purpose. David remembers God's purpose for his life. See, in the ancient Near East, if someone felt like they were stuck in sin or not knowing what to do, if they felt like they were in a pit, they would go to the priests and they would sacrifice burnt offerings to appease God. But here again, David is tuned into something different, something deeper than what was just culturally practiced at the time. He knows God's heart for him and to the Israelite people is ultimately to do God's will and to have the law in his heart instead of just interpreted to him through the priests and the system of the law. What do I mean by that? Well, imagine that you work in a coffee shop and your boss was showing you how to make the coffee. He shared with you that in the past, when he showed people how to make the coffee, they still did it in their own way. So he decided to write the instructions down, the precise instructions on how he wanted the coffee to be made. But he admitted still wasn't the best way of making the coffee. The best way, he said, was to know the ingredients off by heart and to make the coffee exactly. Since you want your boss to be happy, you set your mind to memorize the ingredients and the amounts in the precise way that he makes the coffee. And so it was with the law given to Moses and passed down through the patriarchs. That's all the people in the Old Testament. God had to have it written down and incorporated into their culture for them to get it, to get what the law was. And they still didn't get it. But what God really wanted, what the purpose of the law was for his people to know the law and to do God's will. But they were stuck trying to follow the precise written down the directions instead of the purpose behind the directions. To get out of the pit, first David proclaims what God has done, and then he remembers his purpose. To do God's will. David gets this, but since he is not the boss, he can't fully do it, and therefore, he needs the last part. Don't forget to pray. David takes the last half of the psalm, verses 11 to 17, to pray to God for his deliverance. And his prayer is in two parts, mercy and deliverance. Verses 11 and 12 is mercy. David prays for mercy, and he's perhaps at his weakest here. He knows that God is over how he got into the pit, but that it was his own sins that he ended up there. So he cries out to God to release him from himself and his troubles. The deliverance is verses 13 to 17, because it's only in God that we find our freedom, our rest, our peace, our hope, and our release, not only from external trials and tribulations that surround us, but also from the muck and the mire and the pit that is within us. Because if we're really honest, we can all relate to verse 17, that we are poor and needy. May the Lord think of us. Lord, you are our help and our deliverer. God, do not delay. So David proclaims what God has done. He remembers his purpose and doesn't forget to pray. So where does that deliverance come from ultimately? Well, David is onto something with the way he related to God. But he still had an incomplete picture. Remember that illustration about the coffee? Since you are not the boss, you can't make the coffee exactly the way that he made it. So you kind of need to be the boss to know how the coffee is made the right way. See, another special thing about this passage, Psalm 40, it's a Christological psalm. And so what do I mean by that? Christological means it leads, it points directly toward Jesus Christ. It's one of the psalms that prophesied Jesus Christ hundreds of years before he came to the earth. That it was part of God's plan all along. Now, the writer of Hebrews tips us off to this when he uses verses 6 to 8 as the very words of Jesus Christ about sacrifice. So in context, David composed them. But as Jesus was David's descendant, so how did David know about proclamation, purpose, and prayer in the pit? Divine intervention. It's God himself who gave us a template through David to us. Through David, but perfected in Jesus Christ. Because it was Jesus who came to proclaim the kingdom. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." He waited patiently, and he humbled himself to death in the grave and was exalted to the highest place. Praise the Lord. Jesus knew his purpose was to do the will of the Father and to die and be resurrected. Sin leads to death. And David knew this, so he pleaded to God, but he knew that no sacrifice would truly suffice until Jesus Christ, who died as the one sacrifice for all, for you and for me. And Jesus prayed for mercy because all the sin in the world was upon him. He was fully human, just like you and I. He suffered like you and I suffered. But in all mystery, he was also fully divine. being one with the Father. He prayed for deliverance, but still accomplished the will of the Father. And Jesus himself became that deliverance for you and for me. I want to ask you this morning, are you in a pit? Did you come feeling heavy laden, burdened from the trials and tribulations of this week? For what has happened to you, for what you've done? How are you really doing this morning? David found himself in a pit in Psalm 40, and Jesus ultimately brought us out of that. So remember that news story from the beginning? On Wednesday, June 12th, this is 8 days later, security officers surrounded the location where the women were held just before 5 a.m. local time. By 5:15 a.m., the team had breached the premises and gunshots were fired. 8 people were taken into custody, and the girls were rescued unharmed physically. This is in New Brunswick, and the PC health minister of New Brunswick, Ted Fleming, said, "Who could be anything but fabulously relieved that the girls have been rescued?" He says it's a wonderful story, an international story. David Kuhn, the New Brunswick Green Party leader, said, "A lot of prayers have been said over the past week for these two young women and their families, and today they were answered." These girls were in a pit, and they were rescued. Can you imagine the joy and the relief they must be feeling now? I'm so relieved and thankful that those girls are safe. I tried to look online to see if they were, like, headed back to Canada or how they were feeling, but because of privacy information, I couldn't find that information. All I could go off was this information, and yeah, we celebrate with them as Canadians that they're safe. But I wonder about all those who are still held captive. I wonder about all those who are held captive by forces external to them and held captive by their own sinfulness. Those who think there's no way out, how will they know God's goodness? How will they know the freedom in Jesus Christ if no one tells them? So today, and into this week, if you're in a pit, if you find yourself in a pit, reread Psalm 40 for yourself. Proclaim what God has done in your life in Jesus. Remember your purpose to believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again for your sins. And don't forget to pray. So let's pray now. Triune God, through Jesus Christ, I thank you so much. We thank you for David penning that psalm. Lord, remembering the past times that you brought him out of the pit, I pray that you'd bring that to mind now. I pray that we'd remember times in our lives where you have worked in the past and anticipate you working. I pray that for endurance and expectancy, Lord, in our lives, that we would endure our pit and that we would expect you to work, Lord. We expect you to move, and you have already moved through Jesus Christ to bring us that freedom and that peace. So today, Lord God, may we proclaim what you have done. May we remember our purpose to do your will, and we never forget to pray. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.